Welcome to the East City Wesleyan Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you would like to learn more about East City Wesleyan Church, please go to ecw.org.nz for more information. Now, here's your podcast.
Happy Father's Day, East City Wesleyan Church, as we recognize the dads, the father figures in our lives. I hope and pray that this weekend is a very special weekend for you in a very unique way. That normally we celebrate this day with a big car show and hobbies and interests. But today, you can just sit back, relax, have a good conversation with Dad, and let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. So, now, I have four kids. Keeps me busy, keeps me pretty occupied, and all four of my children are unique in their very own ways. But all four of them are an absolute blessing that has enriched my life beyond measure. It's an incredible opportunity to be the dad of Kale Grace, of Avery May, of Tate Jebediah, and Asher McCoy. It literally has been a blessing in my life. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're a dad, do you remember the day that you became a father? Special day. Now, I don't know about you, but I was nervous. I was anxious, I was worried, I was petrified about what this would look like to bring a child home from the hospital to say, I'm now a dad. I have greater responsibility. It could be a little overwhelming. But if you're a lot like me, maybe you're just kind of chill, sitting back, relaxing, taking it all in, doing a lot of reading. Who are we kidding? I was a nervous wreck. So as we prepared to welcome Kale Grace, our firstborn, into the world, I remember it so fondly because I was working in construction part-time as we were getting ready to go into the mission field, and Keith Hirschberger, the gentleman that I was working with, doing Corian countertops, we had an install job that was about an hour and a half drive away, and Becca was nearing her due date. And Keith was older than me. He had three grown children, high school and beyond. And every time my phone would ring, he'd begin to slow down on the motorway. Like, Josh, is she in labor? Do we need to get you home? And he was more worked up and worried than me because he knew what to anticipate with welcoming a child into the world. And every time, nope, it's okay, Keith, keep driving. And the day finally came where Becca woke me up in the middle of the night. She said, Josh, I've been in labor for a couple hours, and I think it's time that we head to the hospital. She said, but you have time, so go ahead and get a shower. How did she know? She had never born a child before, you know? We hadn't gone through the birthing process. And she said, just take your time and get ready. So I hopped in the shower real quick, and I got all the things together, and we loaded up in the vehicle, and we headed to the hospital. Now, we lived very rural. We were out on the farm at the time in north central Indiana, and we were probably about a 30-minute drive from the hospital. She said, why don't you stop and get something to drink, wake up. And so I run in the petrol station. I grabbed a Mountain Dew and an ice cream sandwich, I think. And we got back in the vehicle and headed for the hospital. But just moments after that, I noticed that these contractions were getting more intense and very close together. My foot got a little heavier on the accelerator, and we beelined it for the hospital. Not long after we got there, we welcomed Kale Grace into the world. And I remember the moment when Dr. Swan that delivered her put her in my hands and said, meet your little girl. It was a precious moment. It took my breath away. Tears fell down my cheeks. I was overwhelmed in the moment of blessing. But it was really soaking in of how much I loved my daughter. How much my love, my heart, my capacity to love grew beyond what I thought it could. And I was overcome with a thought and idea and understanding on God, how can you truly love me more than this? How is that possible? And I learned something about the love of God that day. And it sat with me all these years, 13 years later. That I remember it like it was yesterday, becoming a dad, becoming a father, with three more children that would follow. It also makes me think of the time that me being brought into the world made someone a father. A special moment, a scary moment, maybe even an unwelcome moment. I don't know what your life situation brings, happiness or despair. But all of us come into the world in a variety of ways and circumstances. And I think about the time I was born. Someone became a father that day for the second time, as I have an older sister. And here's some thoughts that I've had in pondering this moment. I was born, and if you're a Marvel fan, it was like a Thanos' snap. My father disappeared. He was gone, out of the picture, and not present. But even then, in that reality, as it sets in, there were some things that would stay. Things that would be imprinted on me, some things that I would inherit along the way. That I would take on my father's name, Bolin. I remember sitting in a Wesleyan church after I had preached and shared about missions, and someone said, "Now, Bolin, I'm not familiar with that name in the Wesleyan church. And it's the Wesleyan name game, right?" And he said, "So who's your daddy?" I said, "I don't know. Never met him." And the shock value of, oh, that's awkward. And the conversation was done. But I held his name. A name that means so much to so many people. It's your identity. It's who you are. I held my biological father's genetics, that I was very much a part of him. I held a family lineage that I would only get to discover later on in life. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. I held a brokenness towards what it meant to be left and abandoned by something every little boy grows up longing for, to have a great relationship with your dad. I didn't have that. 32 years old, and I got the reality of understanding that I was a spitting image of my father. I saw him for the first time, only seeing one photo of him in his 20s, about the time that he became a dad to my older sister and I. And I saw him at a funeral service, 32 years old. And when I looked at him, I knew exactly who he was, because I was just a spitting image of him. It was like looking into a mirror in the future. And I have to say, he's half the man I am today. And I don't mean that philosophically, I mean that quite literally. He was a very frail, very skinny individual. And I'm a bit of a giant, right? He was thin, he was short, he was weathered, and he was aged. The only thing that was probably different at the time is the beard was all white, the hair was all white and gray, and he looked a lot like me. Same eyes, same facial expressions. It was weird. And once I celebrate a few more birthdays on this earth, I think that I'll probably look quite a bit more like him. Because it's going gray and white, but not completely yet, right? So, this was my inheritance. The inheritance that I received. But it's also not the end of the story. You see, my mother remarried when I was in primary school. And I inherited an amazing dad. We didn't share the last name, but I did inherit some pretty epic missing pieces in my life. You see, my stepdad, David is his name. He was the sideline coach on my junior baseball team. He taught me how to work on my own car so I could save money by not paying a mechanic to do something I could learn. He taught me how to do projects around the home. Again, to be frugal and to save the expense of bringing in a professional, but saying, "You can learn how to do that. Just be willing to figure it out. He's a man that's willing to give his very own shirt off his back to help other people. He has very strong worth ethics. And I learned a lot from him. And I would consider this to be amazing life lessons that I've gotten along the way. So after all of that, I have an inheritance from a few different sources. I have an inheritance from my biological father. I have an inheritance from my stepdad. And an inheritance from many mentors and friends that have invested in me throughout the years. Made a profound difference in my life. And I'm extremely thankful for all of it. You could say that I'm a spitting image of my story and all of those that have impacted my life and made it all possible. Thank you. The Bible tells us, or if you're following on in the story, chapter 22, page 310, or John 1, 1 through 3, verses 14, which Joel read for us, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Bible's telling us a lot in the gospel message, whether you're reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But the scriptures are clear, and it's telling us that the Word became flesh through Jesus Christ. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word." John 1:3, "All things were made through Him." John 1:14, "The Word became flesh." Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." John 1:14 reminds us that He dwelt amongst us. Colossians 1:19, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." And Colossians 1:15 through 16, "The firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him." Jesus was the spitting image of His Father. Everything, with a little added bonus hidden in there. As He took on full human flesh to experience what you and I get to experience here on earth. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 34 through 35. It says Jesus was born as an ordinary person to ordinary people. Jesus was born of a young virgin girl needing no help from us to be born. His earthly father, Joseph, was an ordinary carpenter. Jesus' birth truly was a humbling welcome into the Creator's creation. So I want you to catch this. Thinking about the beginnings, the birth of our Savior, away in a manger. Catch this now. Jesus is humble enough to know what you and I have been through this week. Humble enough to know what keeps us awake at night. Humble enough to know a cold night and a hungry belly. Humble enough to understand your worry and your anxiety that you're experiencing right now. The Word became flesh, and He came to us for us. And He was perfect, a spitting image of His Father. And in all of that, taking on human form, Jesus lives a perfect life. He impacted so many people along His journey. He loved, he served, he healed, he preached, he taught, he walked the walk and talked the talk. He was betrayed, he was beaten, and he was crucified to fulfill what he came to this world to do. He conquered the grave so that you and I can be forgiven and have eternal life. The Word, Jesus, was turned away by many. John 1:10-11. The innkeeper in the story was not the only one to turn Jesus away. We can only imagine what went through his head as he rejected Jesus, claiming that it was too crowded to have a pregnant woman give birth in his inn. You know what I notice a lot of times? The world is simply too crowded at times. Too crowded to receive Jesus. Crowded with deadlines and headlines, phone lines and long lines, full itineraries, full schedules, jam-packed lives. It's just too busy. Jesus comes not to complicate our already complicated lives, but he comes to simplify it, to make it easy to live with purpose and intent. Jesus comes to give you and I life, and life to the full. So I want you to hear these words. I want you to know and understand that it's never too late to invite Jesus into your life. We don't have to clean up our act first. He comes in even at the 2-minute warning of life. If it wasn't too late for Abraham at 100 years of age, not too late for Moses after 40 years in the desert, not too late for Jonah running from God, not too late for Saul of Tarsus who persecuted Christians and who met Christ on the road to Damascus, not too late for Peter who denied Jesus or for Thomas who doubted. It's not too crowded. And it's not too late for you and I. We have the opportunity to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's a game-changing experience. That's a game change for all of eternity. The Word, our King, and our Savior. He comes to common folk like me. Comes to common folk like you. And in the story, he came to a common carpenter, a common young girl that was a virgin. Came to common shepherds out in their fields. When God comes, he comes through many common things. So you can pray right now. Come in, Jesus. Please come in and make my heart your home. Why is this important? Why is this so key to understand? Well, Jesus died, he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he commissions you and I to tell his story. So the Word became flesh through him, and the Word becomes flesh through you. Jesus died and left us with the Great Commission to go to all the world and share the story of what he has done. We are to become a spitting image of our Heavenly Father. We are to become a spitting image of Jesus. So dads, what inheritance are you passing on to your children? And to each and every one of us, what inheritance are we passing to the generations that surround us? The older, the younger, and the generation that you find yourself in. So let us reflect Jesus to a world around us that so desperately needs to understand his love, his truth, and his grace. And to that I say, amen. Happy Father's Day.